Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. This is going to be one of those exciting shows, Ziggy.
Yes.
I'm glad you're here. And Venerable Tom is not here because his seat has been taken by a friend of his.
By his miracle, actually.
His miracle, right? So he may be moving from Venerable
to definitely Blessed. Yeah. Definitely. He's got to be the Blessed
but
Tom.
But doesn't he have to die? I mean, it's just like we have to, there's a reality. Oh, yeah, I know. So.
I'll explain that to him.
He's such a holy guy. This is an exciting time because we are we love conversion stories here at the Catholic Cafe. I'm a revert, and so I just get excited when I find out there are people that weren't born Catholic who decide they want to be Catholic. And I think, like, how is the Holy Spirit at work here? And so we actually brought someone who has recently come home to Rome, as they say. This is Judge Char. Is it short for Charlene?
Charmaine.
No, what?
Charmian. Okay, see, Charmian. That's why I'm Char. Right, okay. Look, for 10 years, I didn't pronounce it right, so that's fine. I don't really get it.
Well, it's kind of like my last name, Drzemski.
Right, you know, exactly.
I was in the sixth grade, I think, when I learned how to pronounce it.
But you couldn't even marry to get away from it.
No. And in fact, I made my wife.
And that's me. I mean, I already had Charmian, and then I married Claxton, and it was just like
Charmian Claxton. Well, that's why Char is. We're going to go with
there
Char.
There we go. Yeah.
See, I've always known you as Char, and then when I saw your full name, I just went straight to Charmaine. I didn't even stop to try to pronounce
it
correctly.
You got to look at the I and the A, everybody. Yeah. And I've had people tell me that I misspelled my name. I was like, oh, well, that's
well, whatever your name is, you're Catholic now.
And I am. Monica. Actually,
I'm going to call you Judge because I don't want to.
Please don't.
No, I need to because I don't want to be held in contempt.
You won't. Hold you in contempt if you do.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Wait.
This is.
I didn't call Judge. You interviewed him and his wife. He was in circuit court.
Well, they were wonderful converts.
There was like
The
Rebellion?
No.
They were
McCarroll. Judge McCarroll.
John McCarroll.
Right. Yeah. You didn't call him Judge.
I call him Judge now.
Now, okay, but you didn't during his interview.
He is venerable. He is on his way as well. They had a wonderful conversion story from the Episcopalian faith.
Yes.
And they were one of our early shows. I mean, this is like 15 years ago.
I know, because I listened to it.
Oh, did you?
I listened to it 15 years ago.
Well, you found us, and I think that's awesome. Yeah. I'm always surprised that people actually listen to this show. I don't know why. Still surprises me.
You guys are a key part of me being here.
Well, that's awesome.
But for those at home who are listening, you know, yes, we'll likely be calling her Char most of the show, but Your Honor is the appropriate address, and that she is a magistrate judge, a federal judge, and it's a real blessing to have Judge Claxton with us today.
That's right. And if we ever find ourselves in front of your bench, you know, just be nice. Be nice to us. That's all we're asking.
I'll give you all the graces that the Blessed Mother gives me to give you.
As you send me off to jail, you know.
I actually had the honor of working with a Jeff Drzemski for a while.
Oh, my son.
That's right.
Junior, as I call him, was working there.
Yeah.
And he said only kind words about you.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, it's not always a good thing to meet people that sometimes view themselves as God, you don't. But there's a couple of times, you know, judges and doctors can sometimes just step over the line just a wee bit, not immorally, but in a way where they're like, you got to be walking on eggshells around.
No, not me. I'm a homeless cream puff, really.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, let's get into the cream of the cream puff
here,
and let's find out. So you grew up a good Baptist girl, I guess.
I did. I was raised by my grandparents in Burke County, Georgia, and stayed with them until I was 10 and moved to stay with my mom and stepfather in Atlanta. But with my grandparents, grew up in our family church. My granddad's grandfather was the first pastor of Portersville Baptist
Church. So you were well steeped in the Baptist tradition at that point.
Absolutely.
And you got baptized around that time?
I did. Baptized in 1970, 6 years old. And So I wanted to join the church because my aunt, my great aunt, told me that I couldn't sing in the choir if I wasn't a member of the church.
Oh.
And so.
So you had a goal.
So I had a goal. And it was revival that year. And I approached, as we call it, the mourner's bench. And
I've never heard the mourner's bench term.
Yeah.
Was that particular to like a deep south kind of thing?
That's just what you knew. That's what I knew. Yeah. And again, it isn't just, you know, kind of skipping up and saying, okay, want to be a member of the church? Okay, you're cute. Let's make you a member. No.
How did you get baptized? I mean, what was the process? You know, because we're talking to a lot of Catholics.
Yeah.
Some converts. And so people have different baptismal experiences. What was yours like?
So first I had to get past the deacons.
Those deacons are scary. Yeah. They are in the Catholic Church sometimes too. Not always, but you know.
And so, I had to. They basically quizzed me.
Grilled
by the deacons.
How old were you again?
Six.
Wow. Okay. Well, you passed apparently.
I did. I passed. And then we have at our church we have baptism once a year. And at this time, we didn't have a pool, if you will, inside.
Right.
We were baptized in the creek down the hill from the church.
That's the old-time religion right there.
That's right. It was my grandfather's pride and joy because he always said, he says, all my children were baptized in running water. None of that sprinkling water.
And you went all the way under, right? Full immersion, of course you did.
Did you have a white garb or anything?
I did. I had a little white gown that was in our family's.
With like doing it once a year, it was probably quite the event.
Yeah.
There might have been a casserole present. I'm just guessing.
We're a tiny church, and so, you know, but I can still see in my mind, I could not find the picture of me, but it seems like there were five of us, I think, that year that were baptized, and I, like, made a special request, like, the minister that I really liked had, well, now that I've gotten older, I found out he'd been dismissed.
Well, at the time, it made sense.
And I wanted him, and so he came back, and he baptized me, the new pastor baptized everybody else, but I had my old pastor baptized.
So you were steeped in just the love of Jesus, and that's awesome. And you know, I'm sure you thank your grandparents, and you went to live with your mom, I think,
right,
in Atlanta. And mm-hmm. so that early time for you was very, very important and very formative,
and still, you know, attended the Baptist church when I got to Atlanta. Although I remember there was a time when we must not have gone to church as frequently. I mean, as happens to families, it happened to our family for a while. And I remember going to Episcopal church with a cousin of mine for a while, and it's like, ooh, y'all drink wine? This is interesting.
How do we deal with that? Because right? I've been told one thing we can't do.
This is not grape juice. This is like the real deal.
Wow. Wow. I bet that was an experience. And of course, you went on to college, and like every single college person there you fell away just a wee bit.
And I guess let me also mention one other thing. I had a fabulous high school history teacher who was Catholic, and I remember learning all the sacraments. So in the process of learning about the Reformation, he taught us all the sacraments on top of everything else.
Wow, that is really interesting.
So I remember, you know, no, it's like, oh, I know all seven sacraments. Wow, you knew more
than most Catholics at that age, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's really neat to hear. And then when you fell away, like, it just kind of fell out of regularity.
Because Sunday mornings.
I doubt you saying, like, I hate Jesus now. I doubt you were doing that.
Sunday mornings, I'm kind of recovering from Saturday night. Yeah. So who's getting
You were out evangelizing, knocking on doors on Saturday.
I mean, that's certainly one way to look at it. When I got older, and particularly when I met the guy who became my husband, and I moved to Memphis, one of the first things I wanted to do was to find a church. Not being from Memphis, no one, my husband's family wasn't, you know, church going. So I went to the first voice I heard, which was Maxie Dunham. He used to have that really cool. Just kind of radio spots.
Okay, I know. And I remember those growing up. I remember that so well. In fact, he would go, I'm Maxie Dunham, and these are my perceptions.
That's right. Very, very good.
I still remember that to this day. He was a very prominent, Christ United Methodist Church was a very prominent big, I don't know if it was technically called a mega church, but it was a big influence in Memphis for many, many years.
So I don't think I understood its place in the religious firmament. What I got was he was awesome, is awesome.
Yeah.
And so I started attending Christ Methodist, which absolutely, you know, loved it there. His, you know, and what I love about his ministry in particular was, you know, he just wasn't afraid to tell the truth. I mean, there'd be times in the middle of his sermons, it'd get real quiet in there.
Oh,
you know, he's just kind of telling you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
Yeah, Reverend Dunham's going there.
He was not handing out, you know, popcorn and cotton candy. But I got married. He married my husband and I.
Which is awesome.
Which is really, really sweet.
But then all things, there's seasons. And Reverend Mackie Dunham left there.
He left to go to Asbury Theological as president. And, you know, we had somebody that came in after him that wasn't quite as, you know, as rigorous.
So y'all made a move?
Made a move. Went to First Evan. Ronnie Stevens was
another prominent church in Memphis.
A couple dear friends of ours who were attended there, and again, really, really, just really nourished by his sermons. The first pastor I ever started taking notes in church. I mean, I still have my just pages and pages of notes that I would take. I still take notes.
That's awesome.
Today,
that's
Gonzalez.
Awesome. Yeah, it's awesome that you do that, because it just shows your heart, your mind. Your hand, you know, you're it's a very incarnational faith, and you're making it so real by writing it down.
But, you know, on the other side of it is I'll say that for a large part of my life, my faith was more intellectual than spiritual. It's like I knew God, but I didn't know God, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense.
And it usually takes challenges in life to know God, and then to look back and just really see, holy mackerel, where he has been for me, what he has done for me, and how so grateful I am for all of that, and just, you know, wanting to appreciate him more and
That's beautiful to recognize the difference between the head and the heart. Sometimes they're in harmony, sometimes they're not. And that's always part of somebody's journey, you know, and everyone's a little different about how they experience that. Now, I don't really hear anything Catholic here so far, you know, and so did
so,
like
you so get... I'm 16 now, and you know, I was 58 when I converted, so we got
a ways to go.
We got about another 30 years.
Yeah, but there had to be some inklings along the way.
There were
we'll call them divine nudges.
There were certainly nudges, and so I think the first one I kind of vividly remember is 2008 when Pope Benedict XVI was visiting the United States. It was one Saturday, I think I was changing channels and flipped around and ran across where he was speaking. And I can't tell you to this day what he was speaking about, but I remember it grabbed me. It really grabbed hold of me. And it was during a time when we'd left First Evan because Pastor Stevens had gone to ministry in Russia, and the folks that were left, somehow everybody got into a fight over whether we were going to have there's going to be contemporary or traditional music.
Isn't it funny how that seems to be
that's not specifically that, but
happening in a lot of churches where they're worried a lot about like the styles and the...
Right.
Is that happening in the Catholic Church too?
Yeah,
oh, no, no, not at all.
No. Chant on the electric guitar, accompanied by the electric guitar, you know. There's all kinds of goings on, and just it's kind of like whenever you get a body politic, whenever you get a group of people together, someone's going to find something to fight about.
That's right.
And then we're going to take up sides.
There you go.
You know, and welcome to the United States of America during an election year.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
You're just going to
let's just throw it all in there.
It's going to be we're just going to be divided, and we left to our own devices.
We can do that.
we do that kind of stuff. So I you're mentioning you know. The Pope Emeritus, you know,
yes.
Pope Benedict XVI, And I remember hearing addresses. Yeah, some of the beautiful addresses I've heard. And I don't know if this was your reaction when you heard what grabbed you, but for me, it would always be, I just suddenly, it didn't matter what they were saying, I suddenly recognized an office or some level of yes. of supernatural grace that was attached to a person.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going like, this is not just an ordinary person. Like, I wouldn't just walk up, slap them on the back and say, how's it going, Benny? You know, wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, I had admired, you know, Pope John Paul II.
Yeah.
I had admired, you know, Mother Teresa. But there's something about Pope Benedict that just really grabbed me. And I just started thinking, well, you know, maybe we should think about this. Maybe we should. And I was like, wait a minute, hang on a second. Don't they like pray to Mary, worship Mary? I'm like, I don't know about that Mary thing.
So. Yeah, I know. It's funny because, see, this is another a little battle between your head and your heart.
Right.
Right. Your heart was starting to pull you towards something.
Sure.
And your heart was ready to go like, well, let's try this.
Let's give it a shot.
This looks beautiful, or there's something about
this. There's something about this I need to check out.
But then your head said, whoa, they're worshiping statues. They're reading these dusty old creeds. And then they got this Mary thing.
Didn't even get that far. It was the Mary thing. And so, but she found me.
Isn't that beautiful?
She found me in Mexico City. Or actually maybe a little bit before that. A friend of mine from high school, her mom would post on Facebook every Sunday that she would go for walks after Mass and would pray the rosary and just would talk about, you know, whose intention she was praying for that week, what thoughts came to her.
Did the rosary intrigue you when you heard that?
It did. And so I looked at it. I was like, look, you know, she's finding a lot of peace in this. Let me check it out. Let me see what's going on.
So now, you started praying the rosary yourself then?
I started praying the rosary.
It's game over. Okay, it's game over. Mama's involved.
Okay, but hang on. But do you know how to learn? Do you know how to learn the Hail Mary?
How?
Godfather too.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because
the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Fredo says that's how you catch a fish. I mean, that's right. The secret to catching a fish is that you say the Hail Mary.
And so, you know how that comes to be. I can't always speak to that, but I can say that it's a beautiful thing that you did that. Now, I would imagine that there might have been some Baptist grandparents that might have been a little uncomfortable with that.
You just don't tell them about these things.
I wondered how that was handled.
Probably by then, both my grandparents had passed on, and so I didn't mention that to them.
Well, they were probably happy that you were praying the rosary at that point, because if they're in heaven,
right?
They're looking, saying like, oh, you go, girl.
That's right.
I wish we'd been able to teach you this, but you know, you got there. That's awesome.
Yeah. So you started having some good experiences with our Blessed Mother and the Rosary.
I did. I began my acquaintance with her on a visit to Mexico City in 2015. By chance, went with someone on a, you know, kind of got a tour guide to kind of take us
around. We're going to put air quotes around chance. By chance.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. When I say by chance, because I didn't know the itinerary for the tour.
Oh, wow.
And so our guide just, you know, kind of took us around to some places, and we finished the day at the Basilica. And I got to see the Tilma and learn the story of the Tilma, and oh, man.
So you've got a lifetime, it seems like, a long time at least, of these sort of consequential, these coincidences that are happening, right? These consequential coincidences that just like, wow. You know, now at what point did things start getting solid, though, when you're just like going, I really need to investigate this?
Got solid in 2021, I think. So, for years, I would begin the year reading the Bible. Had a Bible in 90 days plan.
Okay.
And that's like drinking water out of a fire hose. I mean, it was, I'd complete it, but it was for completion, right?
It's kind of like climbing Mount Everest. I did it.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not like it was necessarily the journey.
Yeah, climbing Mount Everest without the oxygen, because, you know, you're not getting anything to your head.
Wow.
And so I said in, I believe it was a, 2020, I started doing the Bible in a year.
With my wife's been through it. This is her third time.
Mm-hmm.
She loves it. Same thing. She's listening to Father Mike Schmidt's Bible in a Year podcast.
Right.
So many people are.
Fabulous. And even when I was reading it in 90 days, every time, I mean, there's, I don't know that you could read the Bible enough because there's always something that just kind of pops out at you. I remember one time I read and I finally saw the "Let us make man in our image." It's like, hold it, that's Trinity right there, us. It's not let me. It's
and that's not a misprint.
No. And it's just like, whoa. And so I think as I certainly the first, definitely the second year that I did the Bible in a Year with him, it was really getting the when I got to Judges and talking about you know, and man, you know, did things, you know, as they saw fit. And you'd see in Kings and Chronicles how more and more people got away from doing what, worshiping God the way he wanted and the way he directed, that things went sideways.
Yeah.
And he just wants us to worship him the way he says.
Now, back then, did they have arguments over contemporary and traditional music?
Probably.
Probably. You know, just...
No tambourines.
Yeah. I'm going to decide that you're going to go to Dan and Bethel instead of going to the temple. It's the same. And then that was what really hit me, was all the times that I would say, well, going to Baptist church or Presbyterian and whatever else, it's the same. You know, I'm still believing in God, so it's all the same. Well, that's what they were saying, where they were saying, well, we'll go to Dan, or we'll go to Bethel, or we'll do it this way. Or, we don't have to have the Levites. Why do we need the Levites? We're perfectly good. No, that's not what he said to do. And then, so that's when I said, I've got to check this out. And then, you know, start reading, you know, the early church fathers. And it's another thing is as Protestants, you know, who learns about that stuff?
That's,
you know,
the old stuff. Well, you don't need the old stuff. We got the New Testament. Everything's good.
Everything's good. Right.
Talk about a 1-2 punch, both the rosary and the early church fathers.
Yeah. She is destined at this point.
Oh, yeah. You're done. You're cooked.
Bought and sold.
Yes.
No, that's awesome that you see all this. And again, these are like these sort of coincidences that just keep piling up, and now there's an earnest like seeking, where it's
now,
like, I want to
hunger.
Know. Now, how did you get to Mass, though?
Right. So I said, all right, well, start going to Mass. So you look online. I know the nearest Catholic church to me, so I go online and see what Mass times are. Okay, so I'll go on a Saturday and I'll
see. Were you a little confused when you got there?
Oh my goodness, I was so confused.
Yeah.
I was a complete fish out of water. It's like, oh dear. I didn't kneel before I got in the pew. I'm seeing everybody else doing this. I'm going, oh, I know everybody's looking at me like, what's she doing?
They just
here?
Thought you were a sinner. It's okay. They just thought you were a sinner. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sinners, you know.
I think I'd gotten a missal and I was dead lost. Like, oh, which way do I go here?
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, because you know how I learned to read the how I learned to get through a missal? I started doing Liturgy of the Hours. And once I learned how to like master the ribbons and Liturgy of the Hours,
moving things around.
Missals are nothing.
Nothing
now.
Yeah, absolutely. That's but again, now you get steeped in the Liturgy of the Hours as well.
I'm not as good as that as I should be.
But there's something about being connected to the patrimony of the church, to the ancient prayer of the church, to the traditions of the church. When you start to see that stuff, you start to recognize all the things that you thought about Catholicism.
Oh, yeah.
Were misconceptions, misperceptions, maybe even myths and things that weren't true, and you start to realize, man.
But the real kicker was the first time I went to Latin Mass.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So you went to a traditional Mass, and this is very informative for a lot of us, because when we think like everyone thinks about like the contemporary and the traditional, like the arguments, like they're all the same or whatever, and it's like, You were drawn to a beauty and a fullness, I guess. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
The Blessed Tom actually said, hey.
Yes, yes, Venerable to Blessed Tom.
That's right.
And how'd you get to know Tom?
So I've known Tom almost 30 years.
Isn't that
Tom's
funny?
Our insurance agent. And it's like, you know, but never dawned on me, you know, never really thought about it, never really talked a whole lot about it, that he was Catholic. Buddy of mine, Greg Krogh. When I started talking to him about, you know, somehow that I have this flirtation with the church, he says, okay, so here's some things you need to do. Here's some articles and First Things you need to read. And there's this podcast, a radio show. It's what's it called? It's called Catholic Cafe.
Yeah. I am shocked that you actually became Catholic after listening to
it. And he says, he's got these guys on. There's a deacon, and then there's Tom Dorn. I'm like, what?
Tom
Dorey. He's on a radio work. What, are you kidding me?
Tom is a guy, I love Tom because he does not evangelize with words.
He evangelizes the same way he sells insurance.
Yes, he doesn't ask you, he doesn't close, he doesn't ask for the sale.
He does not. We were we knew him for probably 10, 15 years before we became his clients.
That is awesome. That is so awesome. Yeah. So you finally come into the church.
I did Easter Vigil 2022, and it's just so beautiful. Just so
now, when
awesome.
You think back, do you stop and think like, you know, I should have done this earlier? Because there's a part of us that think like, right. I missed all of this for that period of time.
Yeah. So I have that periodic thought that I should have, but at the same time, God led me the path that he wanted me to be on. And it brought me here to this place and time for a reason. He sent me on this journey for a reason. And so all that I can do is every day ask him to continue to show me, guide me, deepen my faith, and just help keep me going. Let me do, tell me what to do. Let me do your will.
You're still on a journey. That is beautiful. Sir. You know, those are wise, wise words. Now I do want to stand before her bench and receive her wisdom. So Judge Shar Claxton, Judge, Your Honor, thank you so much for sharing this story
thank
with
you
us.
So
it is
much
so
for having
beautiful
me.
To hear this, to see it, and really to see just God active and working in the world today. As much as we want to look at the world and go like, this place is a mess, you start to see these little in a little oasis of hope and something that's really, really just beautiful, and we could see this play out. And so thank you for sharing your story, and I hope it inspires others to just stay on a journey, right? Listen to the hints that God, the Blessed Mother, the Church Fathers are going to send your way.
Absolutely.
Shar, thank you so much for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners
now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.